At this time, I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Shane L. from San Jose.
My name is Shane. I am an addict. Thank you, N.A. Thank you, N.A. Thank you, N.A. You know, without this program, without this fellowship, without these steps, I would not be where I am today. You know, I don't know. God doesn't actually, like, just drop something in our laps. Like, we're not just given a job. Most of us have to get out there and we have to do something to get that job. We either have to, like, start looking through the paper, go online, fill out a resume, an application, go down there, interview, maybe a callback, maybe a couple interviews, and then you finally get the job. And it's the same way with recovery. It's not just dropped into your lap. You have to do some work to get it. There's got to be a little bit of you that you put into it to be able to make this thing work, you know. And that's what I found. Because I've been around this fellowship since 1986, and I did not have 20-some odd years. I have relapsed again and again and again. You know, and if there's any other people in here that have relapsed, you know what that feels like. You know how hard it is to come back into the rooms afterwards. You know, to feel like you've just been beaten, like the thing doesn't work for you. You know, like you can't even succeed at that, at not doing something. How can you not succeed at not doing something? You know? So when I thought about this topic, you know, they told me this topic about a month ago, and I was going to put an outline together so I would have some important points to talk about, right? Because that was part of the footwork I was going to do for this. And I would sit down on my computer, and I would start to write a couple of things, and none of it sounded right, you know? And then I thought, well, maybe I'll make a slideshow or a presentation or a PowerPoint, you know? And I would have a projector here, and I would have all this stuff I can refer to. And nobody wants to see that stuff, you know. And I never got to that anyways, you know. What I did do is I thought a lot about what has gone on in my life, you know, how I have put the footwork in my life to make it work this time. You know, my clean date is February 9th of 2006. I celebrated 4 years last month. And I'm a guy who couldn't put 4 days together, you know. I've been to the pen about 13 times, 3 terms and like 14 violations, or I'm sorry, about 11 violations. I was one of those guys that just couldn't get it. You know, my parole officer would call me a couple days, a week beforehand, and say, you need to come down next week and bottle for me, and I couldn't give him a clean test. I just couldn't do it. You know, I had lost the power of choice to be able to stop. I had lost that ability to not use. You know, it had gotten bad for me. My addiction was really, really bad. So, like I said, I came around these rooms in 1986, and I did a little bit of the work, and I did a little bit of what you guys do, and I got about 9 months of clean time. And my life got really, really good. You know, I had money in the bank. I had a company car. I had my own place. I was 19 years old. I was living down in Los Angeles at the time with my mom, who was also in the fellowship. And I decided that, you know, I really didn't have a problem. That if I was able to stop that easily, that maybe I wasn't an addict after all. You know, that maybe I could just use a little bit. Maybe just a beer. We're going to start with a beer, right? You have a couple beers, maybe a margarita, you know, and then a joint, and then I'm back off into whatever it was I wanted to do, you know, and it went like that all the time. And later on in life, you know, when I started, you know, visiting the Men's Country Club of California by the CDC, you know, I would get out saying with all those best intentions that I'm not going to do anything, and I would put stuff together. I would do footwork. I would go to meetings on the inside, and I would work in the green and gold on the inside, and I would have all these best intentions of when I got out that I wasn't going to pick up again, that I was going to do right this time, that I was going to get a job, and I was going to get a place to live, and I was going to fly right. And sometimes I made it a couple weeks, and sometimes it wasn't even the whole day. You know, a couple of us have heard that old thing about being back in the spoon by noon, and I made that true. You know, and I gave my parole officer a dirty bottle the following day with a smile on my face, thinking I'm running again, you know. So when I came around the rooms this time, I was pretty much done. You know, they talk about that gift of desperation, that you just don't want to do it anymore. You know, there's got to be another way. There's got to be something else that I can do that's going to change all this, and I got to find out what it is. And what it was is I had to do everything. You guys told me, you know, to go to meetings, to get a sponsor, right? To get a higher power, to work my steps with that sponsor, you know, to get involved, to get in the service, to read the literature. And I thought, you know, I had tried everything else. I had done all the other avenues. I had faked all that other stuff, right? So I mean, let's be honest about it. You know, when I was doing it the first time, it was just, you know, just to try to get by, just to try to get off parole, just to try to make the old lady happy, mom happy, whatever it was. You know, this time it was different. This time I really wanted it, you know. So I did what you guys told me to do. I listened. I actually opened my ears and I listened to what you had to say. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to give this one shot. You know, we'll see what we do. So I got myself a sponsor, which is what you told me to do. It was part of the footwork. You know, so you got to go to someone who knows. You know, when we're out there getting loaded, we didn't know how to use dope in the best way possible. We asked someone, how do you do that? You know, how do you twist the pipe to get the most out of that? How do you do that? Right? How do you roll up a joint? I know what I had to ask someone to show me how to roll a joint the first time. I had no qualms about that. How come I was able to ask somebody to help me with that? But I didn't want to ask any of you to help me get clean. You know, was it my pride? Was I too smart for the program? You know, there was a lot of things going through my head at those days. So I found someone that I trusted, and I got with that man, and I said, you know, I want you to take me through this. I want to do this. I want to, you know, just what do I got to do? And I put myself at his feet, and I said, let's work these steps. Let's work this program, man. And we started going through the steps, and I can't say that everything was just wonderful after, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but it got a little bit better. You know, when I did my fourth step and I put all that stuff down on paper, and I was really afraid to have to share that stuff, but you guys said that's part of the footwork. That's part of the stuff that we have to do to make this thing work. If you want to get to the other side, you got to step towards it. You got to go forward. So I shared that stuff, and he didn't run out of there laughing. He didn't run out of there crazy crying. He didn't do anything. He just went, okay. That's good. Is that all you have? And I felt like maybe I should make some shit up so that it would be better, you know? So we worked the rest of the steps, man, and I got to 8 and 9, and I had to make amends to some people that I really didn't want to make amends to. But it doesn't say that I had to run out and do it. It said I had to become willing, you know? So I wrote that stuff down. I don't know how you guys did it, but we did like 3 columns, right? Now, later, and never, you know? And there was a lot of nevers in that line. But the amazing thing was that those nevers started to slide on over into maybe. And then all of a sudden, you know, God would present a situation where it was a now. And I was able to free myself of that stuff, you know, and it felt really good. It felt really good, you know. So worked on it through the other steps and the, you know, maintaining a daily inventory of myself and correcting it when it's wrong and going to someone and saying, hey, you know, I made a mistake. And working with others. You know, and when doing all that, I found a life that I never dreamed of, you know, and none of you really told me that this is what I was going to get when I got here. You said I was going to be free from active addiction, and that came pretty early, you know, but the friends and the family, and I'm getting a little choked up, the friends and the family, because I consider all of you family, whether I've met you or not, you're family, because we share a common bond. You know, we all went through this. We all felt those pains, those horrors, you know, the incomprehensible demoralization, you know, not liking yourself. Not liking yourself. I hated myself. At the end of my addiction, I was my own worst enemy. You know, and I would do things to me that if you did them to me, we'd have some problems, you know, and I would be okay with it. And I would do it on another day, and I would do it another day, and I would do it again and again and again. You know, one of the depths of my depravity was that I, knowing full well what was going to happen if I picked up that next one, if I put that needle in my arm, if I twisted that pipe, if I, whatever it was I had to do, I knew I was going to go back to prison. I knew it was a given, you know, and I would do it anyways. With full knowledge that that was going to be the outcome, I would do it anyways. So when I started working these steps and I did the footwork to get through this program, and I And I started to find a new life and a new Shane, you know, because there was this person inside of me that I knew was there at one point, but I just didn't know how to bring him out. You know, he's a good person. He's got a loving heart. He likes to help others, you know. He likes to be around people. And in my addiction, you know, I just wanted to be all alone, leave me alone. You know. So I started really getting involved in this fellowship, you know, and I go to a lot of meetings and I get in the service and I come to the conventions and I share with others and we laugh and we have a good time. And that's what this thing is all about. And it's for me, it's been getting a whole new life, you know, and thank you, N.A. Thank you, N.A. Thank you, N.A. And that's all I got.
Let's thank Emily M. and Shane L. for speaking.